Simecha, and Ishi Mevav Tiro. The Torah reverses the order. Rashi says, Ishi Mevav Tiro and Kedoshim, beginning of Kedoshim. So Rashi says, Kan Higdim Aim Lo'ov, Lefishe Goli Lefanov Shah Bain Yari Esov of Yesa Me'imai, Ubekovid Higdim of La'aim, Lefishe Goli Lefanov Shah Bain Machabed Esima Yesa Me'aviv, Bidneshem Shadalte Bidvar. But the whole Chazal isn't quoted by Rashi. The rest of the Chazal is the other way. What about the other way? See, the mother, the relationship between the mother and the son is a different one. Because the son to the mother has naturally a certain affinity and a certain attraction. The father is viewed as an alien force because of the unconscious wishes that we mentioned. You see, the father's an alien force. But then, of course, because he can't, he really can't overthrow the father. So what happens is that the father becomes a an overpowering force, and there's an unconscious hatred towards the father. You see, Chazal don't mention exactly precisely the unconscious, but Chazal say, Gol of Yadur Lefanov Shehabain Yore Esoviv Yeser Me'imai, because he's Neshe Malam De Terah. You see, Malam de Terah doesn't mean the means as a youngster. It means he exercises restraint on the child's. There's an exercise of restraint on the child's instincts. You see, so that's why when it comes to Kabed, so it put Av first. You see, because the Av is the one that would really normally in the instinctual pattern would be last. So the Terah reversed it. And Ish Imay Vaviv Tiro is on the contrary. The aim is not the object of fear. See, the aim is the object of love. You see? Positive. So that's why the Torah reversed it. Ish imoy v'oviv tiro. So you learn this ration. Okay, fine. But really what Chazal are pointing out here is not just a simple idea. Okay, so if you think the other way, so you reverse it. I mean, what do you have to reverse it for? this reversal points to a very important idea. What is the idea basically in the reversal? The idea is like this. The very idea that we were discussing. That the natural trend must not be followed philosophically. You see, that a person must recognize the natural trends, and then he must, once he recognizes the emotions that exist in the natural trend, he must apply the philosophical rule. And when he applies the philosophical rule, it'll come out that the emotional desires are overcome, you see, and are under the supremacy of the intellect. That's why, if it would have said Kabed Esimecha Vesavicha, so that would mean you're following the regular emotions, because aim comes first, so you go more than that. No, reverse it. Kabed Esavicha Vesimecha. Recognize the emotion is greater towards the mother, but in the mitzvah, they're both equal. You see? So the reversal is telling you one thing, that you should recognize the emotional trend and then equalize it. And operate and function not in accordance with the emotions. See, that's why the Torah reversed the order. The reversal really demonstrates a mechanism that goes on within the individual, that the individual should counter the emotion that he has. Recognize the emotion and counter it. You see? That's where perfection lies. Perfection lies in the ultimate action. The action which is brought about, which comes about after recognition of the instinct and reversing the instinct, you see, and acting philosophically. I just want to mention one thing, though, that this mitzvah of kibud av va'em, you see, is a mitzvah in which the greatest exercise of perfection is required. Chazal talk a lot about kibud av va'em. You see, the real philosophy of kibud av va'em, I think I mentioned before, is really because like the Gemara says, Shlesha Shutfim Ba'adam, because the parents are a cause of the person's existence. It's not because the parents raised them. That's not why. Because you see, an adopted child does not have a chi of kibud av va'em. He has a separate hakar satov, something else, but he doesn't have a chi of kibud av va'em. And if parents should throw their child away and give them over to somebody else to raise, the ben is chayev in kibud av va'em to his original biological parents. Why? Because it has nothing to do with the fact that the parents are kind to you or nice to you, with the emotions that go on. Nothing to do with it. The machayev is one thing, because they are the cause of your existence, And the cause of your, they reflect the ultimate cause, which is God. That's why it says, Hukash Kvaidam Lakavaramakam. They're a reflection of the ultimate cause. They bring to mind the ultimate cause. That's why Kibud Ov Aim is a part of Kavaramakam. That's why the Pasuk says, Veshapsesa Tishmaru. See, what's Veshapsesa Tishmaru? That if they tell you Mechal Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to listen to them. Why? Because since Kibud Ov Aim is a part of the of Kavod HaMakom, it's Kim and Kavod HaMakom, so there's, if it's against God, so then it's not a reflection of the ultimate creator, on the contrary. You see? But what I want to mention is, insofar as the practical is concerned, that this is an area which requires tremendous work because of the fact that there are an unbelievable amount of unconscious emotions in this area. You see? It's a most difficult area for a person to act according to halacha in this area, because a person just works in accordance with his emotions. But the halacha does not accept that. Halacha doesn't accept that. You look at the Hilchos Kibud Ov Aim, your father says something, your mother says something that's wrong, that's against what you say, ain't a seiser es devarav. I feel even if the father mother embarrasses a person, barabim publicly, doesn't say anything to them. And that means not to say anything to them, not even go back later and say, how'd you do this to me? How could a person, we can have a hard time imagining it? Allah demands, that's it. Not allowed to tell them, not allowed to say, how'd you do this to me, or shout at them or anything like that. Never to get angry, never to speak to them in a way that's disrespectful in any manner whatsoever, no matter how unjust they acted towards you. You see? What does such a level require? Such a level requires a total understanding of the instinctual forces that exist in one's mind, and the total control of those forces, and a philosophical recognition of what Kibud Ov Aim and is, and the application of this of this philosophical principle to the mitzvah of Kibud Ov Aim demands a tremendous level. Even in the Gemara's Makbid on how you say anything to them, the manner, the way, even if you see your father Mechal Shabbos, now let it go shout at him, isn't the halacha they not supposed to do this, the way you correct them, you see, the way you correct them has to be everything's b'derech kavod. So this requires a total control of the emotional forces. Very few people can really be Mekayim. I mean, are really Mekayim. Shouldn't say can really. Are really Mekayim in the mitzvah. Kel Chasai. But it is a mitzvah which is extremely important and really represents the level of philosophical perfection. See? It's important. I strongly recommend that a person should go through those halachas. And if a person wants to perfect himself and be able to carry them out. This is very important because this mitzvah of Kibud Ov Va'aim, which applies to, which is of great philosophical significance, because it's a reflection of God, reflection of the Creator, is simultaneously of great emotional significance in terms of perfection, because that's at the root, the very root of where our instinctual life begins. And to correct that area, to have those emotions under control, is really a sign of great perfection. Hmm. That's right. That's why you have all the emphasis on this mitzvah. Tremendous amount of emphasis on this mitzvah. Without philosophical perfection, you can't make Kibud Ov Aim. Kibud Ov Aim demands the philosophical state in which your actions draw from another part of the mind. A person who reaches that level acts and lives differently. It's a different kind of a life, qualitatively. Because whatever he's doing, the source is not the immediate emotion, which is everybody's life, just an immediate emotion. The source is from a different part of the mind. It's a different type of a gavra, different type of a person. He functions differently than the average individual. See? It's a different level of life. It's a qualitatively different level of life. It's not just the person is a great chacham, he's better, this. It's a different type of life altogether. Chazal mentioned it, one of the Amorim, in the Gemara Brachos, when his mother would come, he'd hear the footsteps of his mother, he'd say, Eikum mikama shechina da'asi. I'll get up because the shechina is coming. What does it mean the shechina is coming? Because it's a reflection of the ultimate cause of his creation. Reflection of God. Even if a parent is extremely unfair, I mean, towards the child, it makes no difference. You have to be able to separate the gavra, which reflects the Creator, from the personality that's involved.
It never says love.
That's, yeah.
What?
Mentioned many times before, the level also expresses itself insofar as Benel Machaver is concerned. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Same area. But the primary area is Kibud Av. That's the primary area. When the Gemara says that Esav Adayin Le... The Gemara says, "Dain legil lachatish kibudu shaleisa." The Gemara says about one of the Tanayim, right? So the Esav was mekayim kibud. He still didn't reach hef as much as he was. The question is, Esav of Russia. I mean, you're going to tell me that he's mekayim this unbelievable mitzvah? Very difficult to understand. I think the pshat is, you can't be tzaddik in one mitzvah. The pshat is with Esav really. He was Mekayim, the Maisa of Kibud, in an unbelievable way, because of a certain emotional relationship that he had towards his father. You see that Kitzayet Befiv, he always tried to show his father how good he is, and he was very, very concerned with what his father thought of him. You see, there's an emotional thing over there. But and that's why he had a separate suit that he used to put on before he'd go into the room where his father was. So he was really driven by emotional forces. But the Chazal mean, in terms of action, he didn't reach Chatzi Kibud or Shalesev. Mm-hmm. You see? I just want to mention one thing, that insofar as many people feel that you need an outlet, so it is not true. It's absolutely not true. That if a person does not act upon an instinct at a given instant, there is no harm, no damage whatsoever to his psyche. Once it's conscious, the conscious deals with it and it wears it away. And there's no need for the outlet. The only thing is that the only thing you can't do, like we mentioned, if somebody is a sadist, then he should become a shechet. That means that in a general instinct cannot be constantly frustrated. There must be some outlet to an instinct. If a person would deny his sexual instinct, you see, he would have problems. Because the instinct needs an outlet. But if at a specific point the sexual instinct grabs onto some object and he frustrates it, no harm will come to him. As long as he has a certain amount of general outlet for the instinct. But the specific encounters, instinctual encounters do not require any outlet, and there is no benefit whatsoever. The only thing is that there's philosophical harm insofar as the person's perfection is concerned, because basically he's just acting on his instincts. He's not acting according to reason. So, the philosophy that one must give vent, expression, to every one of his instinctual encounters is derived from the influence of the instincts themselves, which try to convince a person to satisfy them, you see. The ultimate perfection of man lies in how much of his soul is affected or influenced by reason, and how much is influenced by the emotion. That's where the Bechir comes into play. Bechir comes into play because the soul happens to be affected by both. See? And there's a pull on both sides, from both sides. Now, when the person makes the judgment in favor of reason, so he withdraws the effects of the... He withdraws the soul from the effects of the emotion, and thereby perfects himself. Hmm. And that's why every Nisayon, if it's overcome properly, involves necessarily human perfection. See? Hopefully the person doesn't hit a very big Nisayon at the outset, because if he fails, then it's hard to start for him to get back on his feet. But if he encounters the proper amount of Nisayonis, in other words, in terms of the difficulty of Nisayon, if he encounters the smaller ones at first and he makes a progression, you see, towards the greater ones, then, of course, he can improve himself steadily, step by step. See, the thing is like this. When a person fails and he follows the emotion, any emotion that a person follows, it's not just a matter that he failed and his soul is affected by emotion. It's even worse than that. Worse than that is because when a person follows the emotion, you see, he won't just follow the emotion and say, I'm doing the wrong thing. even if he says he's doing the wrong thing, there is an inner feeling that what he did is the good, that what he did is really good, you see? Because the emotions have the nature of convincing. See, the emotions, it's a strange thing. I mean, we don't understand how the soul is constructed, really. But we know, we see how it works, that the emotions convince a person. If a person will, instead of learning one afternoon, if a person will go to a party and he had such a conflict and he'll decide to go to the party, he will feel that this is really the good. This party, this is really the good. You see? There's a certain undercurrent of feeling that this is the good. Okay? Whatever he does. So that the emotion isn't just satisfied in taking his actions away, but it also affects his mind and his value system. It affects the value system. And that's why the soul becomes corrupted. Because every time the soul engages in something which is an emotional satisfaction, it tells itself that this is the good. You know what I mean? And therefore, it corrupts the whole value system of reality. I often bring examples from Einstein because I think that he was a remarkably naturally perfected individual. But he one time said that many times, you know, when he hears all the praises that they give him, he says many times he's tempted to stop and listen. But he says then he recognizes that this involves a corruption of the soul, and he immediately pulls himself away and goes back into his work. You see, but the truth of the matter is, a person who has the perfected soul, a person whose soul is in a good state, recognizes, consents the state. See, the phenomenon of an Einstein is not an impossibility. Because a person who really is in a perfected state has a certain inner peace, which he recognizes and he values very much. And he could sense that this other thing of following praise is not going to result in that same state of the soul, being in that peaceful state, but it's going to involve corruption, and it's going to pull him, you see, and in the end, he's not going to have that happiness anymore. See? Because the truth of the matter is, the person that is perfected really has a better life. And he could sense it. There are two different levels in anything a person does. Pevish Yisra is the first level, and Isa Me'ava is the second level. Now, of course, a person who is really on a high plane, for him it's not difficult not to talk Lashon Hara. Because he has absolutely no interest in any of the area completely, you see. I mean, he's not interested in this person's shortcomings or that person's. He has no interest in that. His mind is involved in higher areas. Not only is it not interesting to him, it's boring to him. It would be a waste of time. It's something very painful to him to even listen to Lashon Hara. That, of course, is in a perfected individual. A person who has removed himself completely from the lower forms of enjoyment and has substituted for them the higher forms of enjoyment. So he has no interest in this area. But until the person reaches that level, that's the Eved Me'ava, until the person reaches that level, he has to exercise, he has to go through the process of Kevesh Yisrei. Because that's the first step, you see, to get out from under the domination of the emotions. That's the first step. And of course, in Lashon Hara, you have a situation where there is a very, very, very powerful emotions involved there. There's the destruction of another person, which is really like an aim-inhibited type of murder, you see. And there's the self-aggrandizement, you know. I mean, there's a lot of emotions involved in that area. What? Miskabed b'klein chaverei. And there is also an egoistic fulfillment insofar as the fact that other people are listening to what you're saying. You brought up an interesting topic. So you have a further expansion of your ego in that area. You see, there's several emotions involved. And of course, the only way to deal with it is for a person to, if he's engaged in Lashon Hara, to try to isolate which emotion was dominating him at the time. That's the only way a person can do it, like in any other area. But it requires a careful self-analysis. In the world we watch, their idea of ethics, I mean, gossip is considered a small thing. It's a small, petty thing. Yeah, right. Something which we smile at it, you know. That's a terrible thing. Why is that so? Why does Yadis consider Lashon Hara a terrible thing? Bale Lashon Hara. What's such a terrible thing? I mean, this is a whole world of competition. It's accepted. You know, I mean, if I show that I'm better than the other guy, if I do it in a nice way, not openly, openly is gross, but you know, you do it in a hidden fashion, concealed way, so it comes out that you're a little better than the other guy. Yeah, that's a terrible thing. It's the progress. I mean, how are you supposed to get ahead if you don't do that, you see? Not even considered hardly a defect, you know? Why is that so? What's the difference between the world's philosophy and Yahadus's? There's one difference. In the world's philosophy, the world just looks at the superficial phenomena. And they look at it and say, not so harmful, you see? But Yahadus looks into the underlying forces that are at play. It's true the expression may seem harmless. You know, what did I do? I just said a little something about somebody. You know, the famous pshat of the Chafetz Chaim, ki ba'apam hargu ish. He says, how do you kill somebody with the af? He says, you're sitting in the company of a few people, and somebody talks about somebody, and they say, well, what do you think of this person? So you go, that's all. Af. It's the, af means a nose. He just goes, that's it. That's ba'apam hargu ish. You see? Little small expression. It's a terrible thing. But if you were aware of the unconscious forces that are lying beneath the surface of this expression, what they stem from, and the amount of power that they exert, it's true! They only come, only a little bit is seen at the surface, just a crack comes through. But the truth of the matter is that the power of these emotions are unbelievable. Chazal looked into the in-depth psyche of a person. They didn't judge it by the superficial results, whereas the world at large goes by what they see externally, only the surface. That's basically the difference. Ein lechel golam abba means, even though the action seems to be a very minor one, but it stems from a great reservoir of energy being attached to this area. That's the case, and then that's his whole essence. That's the man's essence. It's true, he only allows a little bit to be expressed, but underneath this is really his essence. So it's not possible to have a chel on the ball. I mean, that's it. He has no shechus to have on the ball. That was the mice. That was the mice with David HaMelech. And the David HaMelech and the ones in who spoke against him. They asked him publicly. They asked him, David, HaBoal Eish Yisish Misasa B'ma? Right? So he told him, he says, Misasa B'chenek V'yesh L'chel on the ball. You see? Interesting thing, but that's the way it is. How's it possible? Baalashish? So the answer is, what Dovah was saying, is that God doesn't judge a person by the expression itself. That's sometimes a person can do an action which it would appear more harmful on the surface. But this doesn't necessarily mean that his underlying personality, you see, is worse than another individual whose surface action doesn't really appear to be so terrible, but his underlying motivation is really totally corrupt. See? That's what Dor HaMelech said. He said, it's true. My action on the surface was a bad one. It's Chayav Misa. But still, it doesn't imply a total corruption of the soul. But your action implies a total corruption of the soul. Only Chayav Misa. Now, we mentioned also the Rambam in Perek Dal Mechusur B. Alach Gimel. Now, the Rambam says, when you medea the ger, ain't shal mitzvahs, you medea so yischoron, and medea says, shabasiyas mitzvahs eliyizkel chayel amabah. Alright, so that would seem to be enough. But the Rambam continues. The Rambam says, v'she'ein shum tzadeh gomor ala bala chochma, sha'isim mitzvahs eliyizkel chayel amabah. Apparently, according to the Rambam, that's part of the thing you have to tell a ger. You have to tell him this. It's an unbelievable thing. It's part of, it's not enough just to matan schoron shal mitzvahs and chayel amabah. But you must tell him what the tzadeh gomor is. Interesting thing. Why? Because you must show him a ger is leaving a system of shallow existence. Just religious emotion. He also has religious emotion. We have to show him that this is a totally different system. That this is a system of the Bala Chachma. The first thing the Rambam says is Bala Chachma. That's the first quality he mentions about him. And then, Sha'isa Mitzvahs Elu, he does the Mitzvahs, the Yodan, and he knows them. That's so he should really have an idea what the difference between Yadus is and the concept of religion that he had before us. Now, we just mentioned the problem that arises many times. That since Yadus is for the Bala Chachma, and it's based on Chachma, like the Ramban explains in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the first mitzvah over there, I think it is, in the Mitzvah Seh. Right? Yeah, in the back of the Rambam.
Yeah.
So the Matan Torah is based on knowledge. Many times people ask, they say, that what would you do if it's based on knowledge? So if somebody would show you a disproof of Yadus, so you'd leave Yadus. You say, now if a person says that, yes, I'd leave it, that's exactly what they want to hear. You say, which shows that your Emunah isn't too strong. Now, of course, the reason for this is that because the person who's asking the question really feels that emotion is really the stronghold, not knowledge. So they don't trust knowledge. So they feel knowledge is something that's flimsy, shaky, and can be undone very quickly. So the moment you say, yeah, if you say that, yes, it's true, so I'll leave you this, if it was proven false, what you're saying to them, in their mind, to them, what you're saying is that I'm subject at any point to leave you this. See? So it's not a good answer because they're not on the, they don't perceive that the type of knowledge that we're referring to. And they don't perceive that knowledge is the really most prevailing thing. Emotion is not really a very prevailing thing. Emotions change all the time. Knowledge is the one thing that's most prevailing. That they don't see. So the proper answer is as follows. That to ask them a question, that if you had the same ingredients that you had in Matan Torah, again, but instead of an Echad Hashem Elokecha, the statement would be that Christianity is correct, what would you do? Now, of course, if they say that they would change, then they're in the same position as you are. If they say that they wouldn't change, then they don't accept Matan Torah. You have to make it clear to them that the possibility, that once one understands Yadus, the possibility of him being proven incorrect is the same possibility as the occurrence of a new phenomena of Sinai. There's one thing also that I would suggest to a person who asks that question, that they should look at the Ramban, because the Ramban and the Rambam, which the Ramban makes reference to, maintains clearly that the whole purpose of Matan Torah is because God does not expect us to accept Yadus without any basis.